Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day.
I know it doesn't feel like hump day because we're not in studio, but I just want to assure everyone, just because we're not in studio, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't hump someone you love. I can't stress that enough. It's such an important point. It makes the world go round. It makes hump day hump day. So make sure to hump someone you love, whether it's your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your dog. No judgments here.
Yeah, well, I know that it's hump day, and even though we're not in studio, we can still be celebrating, but yes. THEO is not even in the room, and it's hard to get excited for hump day when I can't even get eyes on the prize.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I've actually been getting DMs from toasters who are new to the community who are curious as to why we spell out THEO instead of saying Theo, which I didn't even realize that we do, but I guess it's so that we don't alert him when he actually is in studio. It's like you never wake a sleeping baby. It's like he's sleeping, he's being a good boy. He knows his name, he will react.
Yeah, it's for when he's in the room, you know, it's like when you spell out a curse word because kids are around.
Right.
But now, like, that's just become one of his nicknames.
100%. THEO. And that's just who he is, you know?
Yeah, speaking of who he is and what he's about, I called you last night because in watching my Australian television show, I came to the realization that Te Adore means I adore you. And that's his name. And I just think that it's so beautiful because that's how I feel about him.
No, it's just like things about Theo and his legacy. Like I keep learning new things about him and none of it really shocks me. I never cease to be amazed at the endless revelations that come from Theo's background.
100%. Like we learned the other day that Theo is Jewish, fully Jewish.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, obviously, he converted, like, to be in this family, but it turns out that he didn't even have to. Like, he was born a Jew.
Yeah, it's 100% true.
You learn something new every day about Theo.
And we're so proud of him.
Ugh, so, so proud.
I kind of understand why people think that when we're talking about Theo for, like, the first 6 months of being listeners to this show, they think we're talking about my actual human son. And it's because we're absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And
he deserves the best. Like, he deserves the most enthusiasm, like the best backstory. And that's what we're here to do, is to give it to him.
And that's what we have properly given him.
Yeah. And to share that with the world. Because the world deserves it, too. Why should we hog all this amazing awesomeness?
Okay. I'm going to move on now.
Okay, go. Yeah, where are you going?
We have a fabulous show for you guys today. I actually watched Emily in Paris yesterday, all day yesterday, and I convinced Jackie to watch it, so she's going to watch it today. So I will hold off on my official recap until Jackie and I can do it together tomorrow. Maybe you want to join us. It's the Netflix original series starring Lily Collins, created by Darren Star. So you're thinking, is it going to be Sex and the City? Is it going to be younger? And then it ends up being none of it. So enjoy it. It's really short, Jackie, and I actually think you'll really, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm going to try my best to watch it today, but my series is just developing.
Like, I understand.
Something so, like, every episode, the things that they're grappling with are just so intense. Like, this show is so dark. And so I just finished season two, but I guess what happened was the show got canceled in the middle of their season two, so they filmed a finale that wrapped it up. And then, like, the fans, the outpouring of love for the show was so immense that they picked it back up and they had to film a different end of the season two finale so that it could segue into season three. So it was so confusing. I watched a finale that was like insane. And then I saw there's an alternate ending. So I watched that ending, hoping that was like going to be like the right one. Mm-hmm. And I loved it, obviously. It's like everything good happens because that was supposed to be like the series finale. So no, the one where everything insane happens is the one that I have to work off of. And like then it was already 12 o'clock, but I was like, oh my gosh, spoiler alert, George is shot. I have to keep watching.
So you are talking about A Place to Call Home, which is like your weird Crackle. What do you watch it on?
Acorn TV. Acorn. And yes, and while yesterday I was a little bashful about the fact that I was watching such a random show, it turns out that like there is a community of people who love the show. I posted it on my Instagram story and like so many people reached out like saying that they loved it and that they've watched it and they're obsessed. And so it gave me, you know, the courage to speak about it a little more today and open up about what I'm watching.
You're so brave.
I am brave because it's hard with you. Because if you saw the show, yeah, because you would make fun of me. But now I have my loyal A Place to Call Homers.
Excuse me. This assumption that I would make fun of you for a TV show, I would like to know where that stems from. I don't think I've ever made fun of a TV show.
No, but like you make fun of other things. So I just assumed that maybe it would, because it's not like a cool show.
I don't know. This seems make fun of me. This feels hurtful. I'm not going to lie.
I'm sorry. I assumed, and you know what happens when you assume.
You make an ass out of you and me.
So, it's on Acorn TV, which is apparently a British streaming service. And if you saw the photo, so someone posted in Toast After Dark, like, the poster for the show. I was like, I can't believe Jackie's watching A Place to Call Home. And if you just see the poster, like, it's nothing about what the show is about. Like, it's so misleading.
It looks like Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, no, it looks like granny porn. Like,
oh, granny porn.
But it's not. Like, it's insane. It's okay. Insane. So if you guys are looking for a show, and I've never watched Downton Abbey, but I feel like it's similar.
I don't, actually.
I do. Really do.
Well, we have tons of stuff coming up for you guys. Of course, we have the Fast Five stories, a little TV recap, because my favorite show on the planet premiered last night. We got two episodes in honor of the premiere. Don't be tardy for the party. The Bierman Zolciak clan is back. And then it's Wednesday, so we also have Dear Toasters, our advice segment. So I feel like we should stop dilly-dallying and just get to it.
Oh, okay. You want to jump right in, don't ya? Well, I guess.
Don't ya? Don't ya? Don't ya, baby? Don't ya?
Okay, without further don'tchas, it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And I have sufficiently run out of ideas. So, let me just tell you guys. Today's episode brought to you by Framebridge. Framebridge makes it easier and more affordable than ever to frame your favorite things without ever leaving your house. Add a gallery wall to your home office or send the perfect gift. From art prints and diplomas to the photos sitting on your phone, you can use Framebridge for just about anything. Framebridge.com, all they ask is for you to upload your photo. They'll send you packaging to safely mail in your physical pieces if you're looking to frame a physical photo. You can preview your item online in dozens of frame styles and gallery wall layouts. Choose your favorite or get free recommendations from their talented designers. The experts at Framebridge will custom frame your item and deliver your finished piece directly to your door, ready to hang. Instead of all the hundreds of dollars you'd pay at an actual framing store, their prices start at $39. All shipping is free. Plus, our listeners can get 15% off their first order at framebridge.com when they use our code TOAST. I feel like the framing process has been so trying for too long, and Framebridge is just out here rescuing people. Like, the fact that you can have a picture on your phone and, like, in a matter of days, it can be shipped to your house in a frame, like, that's just genius.
Yeah, it's one of these ideas that it just changes your life and makes so much sense.
And I feel like it changes the world. Do you know what I mean? It's just like the way we live is different because this should have been done like years ago. Framing is so treacherous and so expensive. But with Framebridge, it's easy and affordable because like we said, their prices start at $39. And if you want to get 15% off your first order, go to framebridge.com and use the code TOAST. Get started today. Frame your photos or send someone the perfect gift. Go to framebridge.com. Ooh, excuse me. Framebridge.com and use promo code TOAST to save an additional 15% off your first order. framebridge.com, promo code toast. Again, that's framebridge.com, promo code toast.
Love it. Sign on. Get your frame right. Okay, first story, clearing up so many questions that we had about where was Hannah Brown taking a poop in the quarantine house. Hannah Brown and Tyler Cameron clear up romance rumors. They say that they shared a trauma that brought them together.
Okay.
So Hannah Brown and Tyler Cameron put up a YouTube video called What Really Happened, where they're finally addressing the romance rumors that they fueled while isolating together in the first few weeks of quarantine.
Let's just talk about that title for a minute. That is like hardcore David Dobrik clickbait. And I just feel like the two of these, they're like a little too serious and mature to be pulling stunts like this, but I'll allow it.
I don't know. I think that now the two of them are YouTubers and this is what YouTubers do. But honestly, I'm glad for this video because it really is answering some of our questions. Like those weeks that they were together, what was going on in that house? Were they dating? The answer is no, they did not even kiss.
Well, you know what's interesting? I feel like there are people probably who listen to the show who, you know, lay in bed at night and think of all the wonders of the world, you know? And one of those wonders is like, what happened between Hannah and Tyler? Like the world may never know. And you know what? I'm just a person who doesn't care. Like I actually really just don't care. I just don't.
Okay, well, that's nice for you. I care a little bit and I think other people care. So no, I'm going to share 100%. I'm going to share what happened. I'm going to share it.
Everyone cares and like the news is all over this, but like I'm just sitting back and like evaluating my life and I'm like, do I really care? No.
No, but I do like, because we were talking about them like every day for a while and we didn't have that many answers. And 100%. We were like, are they hooking up? Like, where is she taking a dump? Yeah. That house needs a cleaning service.
Who's taking out the trash?
Yeah. And like, they're giving us those answers. So I do like when my loose ends are tied up. And if, without further ado, could I share what the answers are?
Yeah, by the way, I'm not shaming you for choosing the story. And
it
I'm not shaming.
Shamey.
And
it
I'm
felt.
And I'm not shaming anyone.
Another thing, you're making fun of my interests.
Bitch, let me finish. I'm not making fun. Oh my God. All I'm saying is that I'm not shaming anyone who cares. I'm just saying I've had a personal realization in the time that you have been reading the title of the story. And it's like, these are two people who like, I probably talk about frequently. I think I follow Tyler on Instagram. Like I'm somewhat, you would think, invested. And at the end of the day, I've just like had a personal realization that I don't care. And I just wanted to share because this is our podcast where we share our revelations.
Okay, so why don't you like go get a snack while I share with everyone what was going on between the two of them?
No, I'll listen and I'll engage. But I just wanted my true fans to know that I don't care.
Okay, honestly, I think your true fans knew. Like they know that about you. They know that this is not for you.
No, but I really want you to finish the story. Go.
According to the reality stars, they decided to reconnect just before the pandemic began in the U.S. after Tyler's mom died of a brain aneurysm and Hannah's younger brother, Parker, overdosed. Quote, we were kind of leaning on each other at this point. We were both going through things, so we were kind of each other's support system all of a sudden. You, of course, have your family there, but it's always nice to have someone outside to lean on as well. Someone that knows you in a different way, Hannah added. But I think there was also like a problem in that a little bit. We were like together in trauma. So they talk about how they spend time in the house making the videos, doing the dances. And Tyler said, people think we were hooking up the whole time. Never kissed. We went from a dating show where it didn't work out, then not talking to each other. Trauma happens. We hang out to living together. 12 times more the amount of time in that house together for those 18 days than we did on the show. Eventually, Hannah got a ride back to Alabama. And so they're just sort of like figuring out where their friendship is now. Like after these major things, like to live with someone for 18 days after not speaking to them, after almost getting engaged to them, like, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's complicated. It's complicated is what it is. And I just, like, can't believe, like, when we were speculating, like, there was legit ass nothing going on. But it actually makes sense. I feel like in no world did we really see them being together. Like, for either one of them, it made no sense. People, like, yeah, also, people just shipped it because, like, they loved them individually and like the fan accounts were shipping it. But at the end of the day, like chemistry wise and like history wise, I don't feel like they really make sense as a couple.
Yeah. Two things that we were speculating on at the time. One, we were wondering where she was going to the bathroom. And it turns out that like she had a really hard time pooping and she would go to his aunt's house, but she still couldn't poop there. Like she like literally didn't poop for weeks, she said. So like I actually
So,
can relate.
So she said that in the YouTube video, like she was talking about dutying in front of Tyler C.
Yep. So it just goes to show that they're not together.
100%. I've never been more sure in my life that the relationship is completely platonic.
Also, I feel like at the time we were speculating that, like, this house, you know, it would be cabin fever to the utmost. Like, everything's fun for a little while, but eventually, like, you get spilkis. Like, you need to get away from these people.
100%.
And she did say, by the time that she left, she said, quote, "I wasn't very nice that day. You were definitely not nice that day." Like, they were done hanging out, you know?
No, I feel that. Like, I don't know how. I mean, I love watching the content, but all these, like, TikTok hype houses and, like, all these creator houses where young people are just, like, living together for the sake of content, while I appreciate the entrepreneurial spirit, I don't understand logistically how these kids don't go nuts. Like, I cannot be near anyone. Like, even a sleepover, like, I can't. Like, I need my bed. I need Theo. I need Ben. I need my TV. Like, I need to be in my own space. I need my personal
routine.
Yes. So I don't understand how these people do it. And obviously, Hannah couldn't do it for that much longer. Like, 2 weeks, I mean, what is it, 18 days? That's insane. Like, I go crazy on, like, a three-day weekend.
Yeah, for sure.
Even so in Newport. Now, like, I was so frazzled. I was Miss Frizzle. That
you were so frazzled,
I dropped
the keys
to the bus in the toilet.
You did. You did do that. Have you gotten an update on, like, where the car is?
Okay, so
I was thinking about that last night. Like, are we just no longer responsible for this vehicle?
Well, I actually woke up this morning to a text from Chase Fraud asking if the rental car charge was us, because it's a very high amount. And I think a lot of things are going on. I think you and I maybe misunderstood how much the Jaguar would be over the Toyota RAV4. And then we also got hit with a few charges. You know, the keys were lost, the towing, all the things. So I do think we misunderstood. And I actually think all these things were misrepresented to us.
For sure. For sure.
So I can't.
Because I know in my head the way they represented the upgrade from the Jaguar. Like, I know the dollar amount that they said it would be. And was it not that dollar amount?
I'm just saying, the amount that Chase was right to flag it. I mean, it's an insane amount. And we could have bought a new Jaguar.
Stop. Oh, my God. Okay, we'll talk about it later then. But, yeah, I would assume, like, just because we paid for insurance $10 a day, like, that doesn't cover the towing.
No.
And the new set of keys.
I got basic-ass insurance. Like, there is no way. It might cover a new set of keys, but it does not cover, like, a full tow in the middle of Connecticut.
Yeah. I mean, that actually makes sense. Like, if it was sounding too good to be true. Like, there has to be repercussions for your actions, you know?
Yeah, and, like, I hadn't heard from the car company, so, like, they were just being, like, a little too quiet, like, very coy.
Yeah, like, just trying to, like, make up a number to hit you with.
Yeah, and to be honest, I did not press approve on the Chase thing yet. I'm just not ready to go through with it, and I need some more info. Like, how did we get to this number?
Yeah, no, you need a breakdown. I understand.
I'm all about a breakdown.
Yeah. Okay, well, next story is some exciting pregnancy news.
Who?
Kelly Rowland is pregnant with her second child. She's on the cover of Women's Health with her bebe bump.
Wow.
Talking about how happy she is to receive the news of her second pregnancy. These photos are stunning, like sickening, stunning, beautiful photos, and just like a stunning pregnancy announcement. But she talks about how she'd been talking about having a second child loosely, and then COVID happened, and we were just like, let's see what happens, the 39-year-old tells the outlet before admitting that she got pregnant right away. She's due later this year. She says she hesitated to share the news publicly, especially during a time when the country is facing the coronavirus pandemic and a national reckoning on race. But she said, you still want to remind people that life is important and being able to have a child. I'm knocking at 40's door in February. Wow. Taking care of myself means a lot to me.
Wow. I mean, I'm truly offended by this story, because Kelly Rowland has absolutely, who gave her permission to be so sickening, stunning, and beautiful, and smart, and just, like, on the cover of Women's Health, like, pregnant? I can't. Like, it's offensive. I'm offended.
Yeah. No, the cover is amazing. The bathing, like, just the looks, it's so on point, and I'm so happy for her, and I think this is a great story.
Do you think her kids hang out with Beyonce's kids?
I don't know.
I actually feel like they do. I actually feel like Beyonce, of course.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't. She has a son who's five.
Yeah, like, Beyonce is always including Destiny's Child in her you know, monumental moments, which I think is really cool and, like, humble of her. And I think she does it because, like, everyone loves Destiny's Child, but I think she also does it because she really loves Kelly Rowland. And Michelle's just, like, happy to be along for the ride. But I think Beyonce and Kelly are, like, definitely OTP, like, best friends for life. Biffle.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I think Beyonce is going to be really happy about this.
Yeah, I mean, everyone could use some good baby news, including Beyonce.
I mean, we get there's a lot of good baby news these days. Like, that's really a silver lining
of the whole thing. Oh, you know what? I wanted to say, I was thinking about it before I went to bed last night. So I'm watching Mad Men, and there is, in season maybe two or three, they're going through that whole Cuba nuclear I really don't know American history that
well. Missile crisis?
But there's a big drama with Cuba. Okay. In American history. And everyone is freaking out. They think there's going to be a nuclear war. Like, everyone's going home from work early. They think they might not see everyone on Monday. And the way they were just, like, talking about how, like, we're living in such crazy times. Can you believe this year? It, like, really was giving me 2020 vibes. And it kind of was comforting to know that, like, people, you know, all throughout American history, like, there have been bad years. And yes, this is a bad one, a really, really bad one. But it just, I felt comfort knowing that, like, Betty Draper in the 60s was, like, worried about the year. Do you know what I mean?
She also had a bad year.
Yeah, everyone did. There was just, like, so much going on within, like, the political climate. And it was just, like, really giving me 2020 vibes. I'm like, this is 60 years ago. So I just wanted everyone to know, like, this is not the first bad year in American history. It won't be the last, but we will get through it.
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful message, Claudia.
Thank you. Thank you, Jackie.
You know what else is a beautiful message?
What?
Reba McEntire reveals that reveals that she's dating CSI Miami actor Rex Lynn.
I saw this. I saw this, and I just wanted to be said, I watched CSI Miami, and I've never seen this man. I'm sorry to this man. I've never seen this man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so I don't, like, know him off the top of my head, but he does look familiar, and I looked up other things that he's in, and, like, he's in Cheaper by the Dozen, but, like, that doesn't tell me anything, you know what I mean?
He is?
Like, he's in 50 movies. That's so Reba, you know?
That's to, like, so just, Reba.
To date, like, a seasoned actor who looks familiar, but you can't really place him.
Okay.
But I guess his big things are CSI.
I know who he is in Cheaper by the Dozen. I think it's Cheaper by the Dozen 2.
2.
When he moves and the coach... Oh, no, that's a different guy. That's a different guy. Who is he? He's probably like an extra.
Right, exactly. So he's also in Fast and Furious, I believe. I mean, he's literally in everything. I could go through it.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I've just seen this specific picture of him on the set of CSI Miami, and I 100% know who he is.
No, he's such a familiar Foch. Yeah.
Yeah, I know him.
He's a familiar Foch. He's also in Young Sheldon.
How have I missed that? I'm actually really happy for Reba. I don't know the extent of Reba's personal life, but I just feel like she deserves happiness because she's an icon and a queen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And she's also apparently a podcaster because she described Lynn as special and a very, very sweetheart of a guy on her podcast, Living and Learning, telling her co-host that she jumped back into the dating pool this year.
Wait, Reba has a podcast? She's really, like, rising tides, raise all ships.
Yeah, I think Reba's podcast is what's going to get us to that next level of podcasting.
100%.
Yeah, so I think it's a beautiful love story. I hope it goes well for Reba.
I have said, I think, today's show a record amount of times, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do. We, like, say something a million times for a week, and then the next week we say something else.
No, but you know what it is?
Except we say 100% a lot. Sometimes I even say 1,000%. Yes.
That's how you know, like, you really agree. But I just want to say, like, it's not my fault for saying 100% so much. It's actually your fault for saying so many eloquent, smart, agreeable things. Like, you're just so agreeable that I have no choice but to agree.
Wow, Claude, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, wait, but really quickly back to Reba. I love her so much, and I just feel like whoever dates her is, like, the luckiest man in the world. I feel like she just has, like, a warm bosom that you could, like, curl into, and she makes biscuits, and she flies private, and she eats corn dogs. And no lie, like, I kind of want to be Reba's boyfriend. I feel like that's an amazing lot in life.
It's the role of a lifetime.
It really is. And like, I would work 24 hours a day to make her so happy. Like, that would be my sole focus. I'm like, how can I make Reba smile today? Should I tell a joke? Should I take her somewhere? Like, I just think Reba deserves endless love and happiness. And I hope he's being really supportive, helping her get ready for her next big role, host of the CMAs. Maybe he'll be there. Maybe they'll walk the carpet together. I don't know if there's even going to be a carpet. I love that Reba has found love. I love that for her. I love love.
Yeah, love, absolutely. Also, he's in Better Call Saul. I never watched it, but I think you did.
You know, I never watched it either, which is crazy because I loved Breaking Bad, and one of my favorite characters was Saul. But I don't know, I couldn't get back to the AMC channel.
I mean, that does happen. I've never watched Breaking Bad.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I swear.
That's crazy.
Do I look like I watched Breaking Bad?
Yeah, you look like you love crystal meth.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Jackie,
I
actually think it should be your next. Are you against it?
Like, I miss the boat, I feel like. And I don't know, it just doesn't look like my vibe. Like, it looks like there's so many, like, I don't know.
By the way, it's so good. And I think, like, you will, of all people, like, you will love it. And I think that you should definitely think about starting this journey.
Okay, I'll put it on my, like, extended list, but right now my short list, like, I have to watch A Place Called Home, Emily in Paris, I want to read The Nightingale, and Mariah Carey's book. And like, once I get past those four things, then we can talk about my next endeavor.
I understand. I do. I'm an understanding girl.
Thank you. Okay, well, speaking of big news in the audio industry, First we have Reba's podcast. Next, we have Howard Stern is nearing a deal with SiriusXM for around $120 million a year. The amount would exceed his previous contracts, which topped out at roughly $80 to $100 million a year.
I saw this. It's so crazy. Like, I knew that he probably made, like, around $100 million for, like, a three-year contract for 1 year of work, $120 million. That's so crazy. But also, like, I see the value. I listen to Howard religiously, but I watch a lot of his YouTube videos, and like, he's really the voice of a generation, and I think he's literally keeping tens of millions of people subscribed to SiriusXM literally just for his show. So this is fabulous. Good for him, good for Beth, good for the cats they rescue, good for everyone.
Good for everyone. And it is an interesting development in, you know, the audio industry, because
yes,
most of these big paydays are going to big podcasts. So for, I would have maybe thought that, you know, when his contract ran out at Sirius that he would go into podcasting. But no, he's a radio man through and through, and there's big bucks there for him. So I think this is a really interesting development. I'm always happy to see Howard Stern, you know, to see talent really get paid for the work that they do. And so I'm all about it, and I'm just interested in the industry.
Yeah, I feel like Spotify definitely tried to make a move. Like, they gave Joe Rogan $100 million. I think Howard Stern to Spotify would be worth $200 million, like, literally bringing an entire generation of people into podcasting. But I feel like Howard Stern feels deeply connected to radio as a medium, and he's not ready to, like, see it die. So I feel like that is part of the reason why he stayed. I also just think he's really happy and comfortable at Sirius. And, you know, if it ain't broke,
don't fix it. Also, apparently he has had conversations with Spotify, but they were preliminary conversations that didn't progress very far.
I mean, so if I worked at Spotify, I would literally do absolutely everything in my power to get Howard Stern on our platform. Like, it would change the... I honestly think it would change, like, the history of media forever. Like, it would be such a big deal. Oh, thank you. I mean, like, in the future, it would be the history.
Yes. I know what you meant.
Yes, it would change the future of podcasting, of radio, of media. I think it would be such a big deal. Like, if I literally would have bought him a plane. Like, I would have done anything. I mean, they have so much money, and it would just be so crazy. So, right now, the future of media is remaining unchanged, but who knows? Maybe in another year.
Yeah, who knows? So I just thought that was interesting. We have an update on our boy, Howard.
We love Howard. If this gets to Howard, we love you and your little curly hair so much. And we loved your book and your everything of the sort.
We loved your book. Okay, fifth and final story. I guess this food falls into the good news category. And it's just a story that I've been following from afar that I absolutely love and adore, and I think we need more sorts of stories like this.
Okay, I don't know the story. I just want to preface it by saying I fucking hate good news. Like,
I know, but like you're gonna, I think you've probably seen this story and I think you would like it. I just think it happens to, like, if you were tagging this story, filing it, like, you would use the tag good news because it's good news.
If you also like hate cringy good news, a few months ago, Jackie and I recorded a podcast on the Patreon channel where we thought we would like try and be positive. The Fast Five Stories of Good News. And it was literally impossible to get through. We were cackling the entire time. It is a brilliant piece of content. Head over to the Patreon, become a member, literally just to listen to that episode. We were sitting on this couch, literally in tears. It was so funny. Like, sometimes I go back and listen to it when I've had a bad day. And if you're looking for that, check it out. I'm sorry to interrupt. What is the good news? I'm dying to know.
Ocean Spray gives TikTok star a new truck following viral Fleetwood Mac cranberry juice video.
Oh my God.
So you saw this video last month. Nathan Apodaca, who goes by 420dogface208 on TikTok, went viral when he shared a video of himself drinking the brand's cran raspberry juice while skating to Fleetwood Mac's Dreams. Now Ocean Spray has taken notice, gifting him a brand new car and a trunk full of Ocean Spray goods.
Wow. Oh my God. I love a brand integration on like a viral moment, you know?
Yeah, and so the original video came about because his car, like, wasn't working, and it always shuts off, he says, and he always has his longboard in there in case he runs out of gas or something, so he jumped on his board, he was boarding down the coast, and he thought that this was sweet, so he took a video, and obviously that video has gone extremely viral.
I mean,
so
that's why one half of Fleetwood Mac, not Stevie Nicks, the other guy, he recreated the video because they were singing to a Fleetwood Mac song.
Yes, and so that's why Ocean Spray got him a new truck.
Wow.
And all the Ocean Spray he could drink.
I absolutely love this story. It reminds me of a previous viral moment. Remember when, damn, Daniel, back at it again with the white Vans. And then Vans gave Daniel a lifetime supply of Vans. And Daniel donated every single pair except for like one to children in need. It was an amazing moment to be an internet user.
Oh, wow. I didn't know Daniel was so philanthropic.
Yeah, it all happened on Ellen. I have to give her credit. She put the whole thing together. But this is reminding me of that. I love when a brand steps in. Like, brands are so archaic. And, like, some brands, it would have taken, like, 6 months, and they would have sent this guy, like, a gift card. Like, they're so corporate, and they're so lame. But I love how Ocean Spray, like, capitalized on the moment and got in there and is making news, good news, and I love this.
Yeah, in addition to gifting the truck, the Ocean Spray CEO, Tom Hayes, did decide to get in on the fun by recreating the original TikTok.
I love a CEO who can get down and dirty.
Writing alongside his video, did we just become best friends?
Oh, okay, he had to ruin it.
Okay,
he had to ruin it.
I'm so glad you felt the same way. That statement makes me cringe.
Like, it's so cringy, and it's just not, it reminds me, honestly, not to spoil it, it's like something they would use in Emily in Paris to like talk like a millennial. Hashtag, did we just become best friends?
Yeah, that's like, but that's exactly what the CEO of Ocean Spray should be like doing, is trying to talk like a millennial.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to criticize too much.
10 points for Ocean Spray.
Yeah, 9.9 points for Ocean Spray. You get docked a tenth of a point because of the caption, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Anyways, I thought that was a piece of good news, and, you know, make sure to get your Ocean Spray today.
Yeah, family-owned business, I think.
Yeah, according to those commercials where they stomp on the cranberries in their boots.
That is literally my source.
Kind of gross.
That's my, in my ear, I have an earpiece. My source is the guy standing in the river with his overalls.
Okay. Well, those are the Fast Five stories, and I feel as though you needed to know them, and now you know them, and you needed to.
And I hope you feel good.
I hope you feel good.
Like you should. Let's quickly dive into TV recap because I'm dying to talk about the Beermans. They are back on our television. They are on a 5-week road trip across the U.S. in an RV with all six of their kids, their chef, their nanny, their hair and makeup artist. It is
wild.
Wait,
they have their hair and makeup artists?
Yes, that's Nikki.
Oh, okay, because I wanted to talk about the glam. I watched the first two episodes. I literally felt like I was watching Cheaper by the Dozen. Like, that sort of energy of, like, frantic,
oh my God,
you know, kids running around, like just things flying, everyone yelling, like gives me so much anxiety. And I absolutely, I love, you know, a big family dynamic and I love the Biermans, but like I had anxiety for them.
It was really overwhelming just watching them navigate everyday things. Like when they were in Nashville going, you know, sightseeing and they went to that boot store and like the kids just ran everywhere and it's like, get the kids back. Like there's just kids everywhere. And I'm so worried that like one of them is going to go missing.
No, there's so much going on. Kim and Croy have so much on their plates, and it's really a miracle how they run this life together.
I mean, you know? Croy is literally like the husband of everyone's dreams. Like the way he just handles everything. Like Kim, Kim says something and it appears like she, and I know that she feels this way. It's like similar to how I feel about Ben. It's like, I feel so lucky to have him. And like, I know that she feels that way. Like when he just does everything for her, like her treadmill, like she,
her
like
he's, wood shop wigs.
Oh, building a rack in the driveway for her RV wigs.
That was crazy. Yeah, no, like bringing a mattress down.
He's just so like handy and he loves her so much. Like, I don't know. I know a lot of people don't like the Biermans for a lot of different reasons, but I don't know how you can watch the show and like not be envious a little bit. Like they have such a good marriage and I feel like she went through so much to get to this place and she's like enjoying every moment of having this like big family, this amazing husband, their own TV show. And like, I watch the show and I'm just like happy for her.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think what they have that is what makes their show a success and like similar to other family shows that are successful is like as a family, they really and truly love each other.
Yeah.
And like Brielle doesn't even want to move out of the house because like she loves her family so much. And like, I think that if you're going to be like working with your family and doing a TV show, like that's the sort of relationship you have to have. Otherwise, like no one wants to watch like family turn on each other.
No, it's so tumultuous and it gives a pit in the stomach. That's not like friends turn on each other all you want, but family is like very sacred. And that's why I love Kardashians. That's why I honestly love Don't Be Tardy. Like I just love that familial bond and they have it. And some people might think it's like unhealthy, like Brielle 22 still living at home, but I totally get it. And I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. And like, even though they are a frantic bunch,
yes,
they are a very happy family.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I just feel like Croy like understands Kim so much. Like when Kim made Croy pull over to the side of the road so she could go gambling for 15 minutes and lose $400. Like that was so funny. And like they do all these things and it's really who they are. Like I know Kim loves to gamble ever since Atlanta Housewives, but they also like do it for the show and the show is really good. And I feel like Ariana, Kim, Croy, and Brielle like really give it all to the show.
Yeah, the fact that they are actually living on an RV for 5 weeks and like it's extremely real. Like the fact that they have to bring a moving truck behind them just goes to show that like they're actually trying to make this work. They're not like staying in a hotel every night and then waking up and filming and pretending like that this is what they're doing. It's admirable, like, that they could get on this bus and do this for 5 weeks. Especially because the girls and Kim, like, their commitment to glam, like, I feel like we're high maintenance, but, like, compared to them, we're not at all. Like,
agreed.
I could do my makeup in 10 minutes, like, on a moving RV. Like,
yeah.
But she's wearing, like, Brielle and Ariana are wearing false lashes. Kim is wearing wigs. Like,
well, they're on a TV show.
I know, but to do that in a rest stop bathroom, like, these women are some of the most high maintenance, I think,
agreed,
celebrities of all time. And to commit to the RV for 5 weeks, like, it's premium content.
100%. The RV actually, like, looked kind of fun. And I was watching their old season all day, like, leading up to the premiere. And while it is really good, I do think at some point it gets a little stale. Like, they just really stay in their house and, like, go to the same restaurants. And, like, Brielle's, she gonna move out? Ariana's going to college soon. Like, it's the same thing. So I actually really appreciate them totally shaking up the format of their show and, like, going on the road with their entire family for 5 weeks. And I think it's actually really smart because there's a million family reality shows and some get renewed and some don't. And this is just, like, a totally different approach. And I actually think it'll guarantee them more seasons.
Yeah, no, I think it's really good. Everyone, like, grew up already so much. The littles are the cutest things, and I love that they call them the littles. Like, that's something we would do. Like, there's literally two groups of kids, the bigs and the littles.
Yeah.
And the oldest little,
he's so tall now. He's huge. I think it's KJ.
Yeah, Corey Jr.
Yeah, it's so hard to... But Kaya is the only girl of the littles.
And she's a twin.
Stunning.
She's stunning. She's a twin, though, yeah?
Yes. Kaya and Cash.
Cash. So there's three littles?
Yeah. No,
four. I always thought there's four. Yeah.
There's four. There's KJ, the twins, Kaya and Cash, and there's one more, and I believe he's the one who was in the dog accident last season.
I thought that was Cash.
I don't know.
Hold on. I can just look it up. Kim's family. Because now I always try and, like, remember
their
names.
Yeah, she has six kids. So Ariana and Brielle, and then four littles.
Okay. Cash, Kaya, KJ, and Kane.
Oh, I literally did not know there was one.
Yeah,
name
no,
Kane.
It didn't feel as good remembering it.
It's just crazy how many fucking kids she has. And, like, I just love her. Like, I love that she's wearing her natural hair. I can't believe how good it looks. Like, this is what she's been hiding the whole time. It looks
her
amazing.
Her natural hair looks as beautiful and stunning as her wigs. I don't understand what her hang-up is about wearing her natural hair as it is.
Agreed.
Right now.
And Ariana had a major glow-up from... she got her lips done. She went to the same hair and makeup people as Brielle and Kim. And I don't know. I just love that, like, even though it's not necessarily, like, what I would want for a look, they just love this one look, and they all look like each other, and they're, like, so happy with the way that they look. And, like, people make fun of them, and they just don't care. They love it. And I respect that. I do.
No, I respect it, too. Like, I actually really do. And you can – I can feel even sense, like, Ariana, like – is more confident in
100%.
Herself. She's also growing up, and, like, so being in high school, like, well, age, like, on a show is a rough place to be, but, like, now that she's graduated and she's feeling herself, like, it's nice to watch her feel confident when, like, last season we watched her feeling, like, really insecure.
Totally.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be a very, very good season.
Me too.
And, is it, it's not always going to be two episodes every night, right?
That was no, just, like, a big kickoff. It was just, like, a special moment.
So special. Thank you.
Now let's dive into Dear Toasters, which is our advice segment. If you ever want to write in, always know you can email us, deartoasters@gmail.com. We will always keep it anonymous. You can use fake names. We won't sell you out. But if you have a quandary you're dealing with, let us know. Like this first girl. Hey, girls. Strap in for this one. I've been with my boyfriend, let's call him Disgusting, for about a year and a half now. For the first half of the pandemic, I was staying with him and his family in upstate New York. Then in July, I went back home and he came with me. I've had issues with my boyfriend's butting heads with my sisters in the past, so it's refreshing to see Disgusting get along well with my sister. Well, let's just say that I've recently discovered that they get along even better than I had thought. This past weekend, we had a barbecue. The drinks were flowing. Everyone was having a good time. While drunk stumbling into the bathroom to go pee, I walked in on Disgusting and my sister dry humping each other in the bathtub. Of course, in total shock, I dropped my drink and screamed at them to stop. And here's the real kicker. Disgusting turned to me and said, "This tub is big enough for three."
This is disgusting.
I don't even know where to start. Totally repulsed, I stormed out and went to my longtime neighbor's house to get away from my family and from Disgusting. I haven't told anyone yet, not even my parents, because I'm just totally humiliated. I'm still at my neighbor's house, and I just told my parents that I'm fighting with my sister, and because we fight a decent amount, they haven't really questioned it. My sister is prettier than me, and I've often felt inferior to her throughout my life, and this is just another example. What the fuck do I do? Yes, I'm disgusted by my sister, but she's still my sister. She hasn't reached out, and I'm not sure I want to make the first move. Help. Signed, the less hot sister. Well, here's the thing. In your mind, you may be the less hot sister, but at least you're not the morally corrupt sister. And that's all that matters.
Right. Right. And I think morals are beautiful.
They're so sickeningly stunning. And honestly, girl, like, not to get off track, but I think you need to have a little bit more confidence in yourself. Like, the way that you compare yourself to your sister and just, like, kind of the tone from what I'm getting, like, I think you need to have more confidence. Like, you obviously listen to this podcast. You're probably, like, so gorgeous and beautiful and smart. Like, I can't even begin to explain.
Yeah, so here's what you need to do. Like, I understand running to the neighbors, like, you don't want to deal with this yet, but you wrote in and you're ready to deal with it. This is what you're going to do. You're going back to your house. You're going to air all of this out.
Yep.
You're going to send your boyfriend packing. He can go home. You guys are finished. You need to let your parents know. Like, you need to bring everyone into this. She needs to feel shame, because if you sweep this under the rug or, like, pretend not want to share it with your family, it will inevitably cause a major rift in your family. Your parents won't know what's happening, and there's a chance that you're the one that feels, like, pushed out. And so not only are you the one that's not in the wrong, but, like, you might lose more if you don't bring it all to a head.
Right. And you're, like, protecting them right now. You didn't do anything wrong. Why are you embarrassed? You have literally nothing to be embarrassed about. Your sister hooked up with your boyfriend. She's nasty. She should be embarrassed. She should be hiding in the neighbor's lawn, not you. And you know what? Your boyfriend, okay, whatever. We expect a lot from men and they always disappoint us. He's a stranger. Like, be done with him. The real problem here is your sister.
Yeah, your sister, what your sister did is worse than what your boyfriend did, because like she's your flesh and blood and she owes you loyalty, whereas like this guy is a skeezy cheater and that's and he's all he's a stranger. Ever gonna be.
Yeah.
And so you need to go home and air it out and put everyone in their place. And your parents need to know, because your sister, if no one finds out, like your sister won't feel shame about this.
She's protected.
And that's why you like need to go and snitch on her immediately.
Immediately. Usually snitches ain't, but in this particular scenario, snitches is.
And you're not going to be like snitching, like running to your parents and telling them what happened. Like she will be in the room. So I feel like if you're snitching on someone in front of their face, it's not snitching.
No, snitching is like the act of going behind the back, but you're really not a snitch if you're just airing out the family issues.
Yeah. I think that you got to air it out.
Air it out. Tell me how I'm supposed to breathe with no air.
Yeah. That's why you got to air it out.
Side note, I literally went into Ben's, like, Ben has the dining room and I have the bedroom when we're working from home. And I went into his like little area and he was on his phone playing Spotify Jordan Sparks on shuffle. He loves Jordan Sparks.
That's so precious.
Next up. Hi, Jackie and Claudia. Thank you for the morning toast. It's one of my favorite parts of my days. I've been exclusively dating this guy for about 8 months. Let's call him Salt. What is with everyone writing him with the weird nicknames today? Okay, his name is Salt. They've been dating for 8 months. A few weeks ago, we were out to dinner when I asked why he had taken a break from dating prior to us going out. He casually said, oh, because of Avocado. I knew of her, but asked him then what had happened with her. Avocado's obviously a girl. I didn't get that. I knew about her, but he said, oh, I thought I told you about how she tragically and unexpectedly passed away 6 months ago. They were still together at the time. When I tell you I was shooketh, I mean shooketh. I had no clue. So they've been together for 8 months. She passed away 6 months ago. I'm just trying to piece this together.
They had taken a break in those 8 months. This timing is weird, but...
No, by the way, they didn't take a break. Listen, let me start from the beginning. It's confusing. A few weeks ago, she was dating Salt for 8 months. A few weeks ago, we were out to dinner when I asked why he had taken a break from dating prior to us going out. So he hadn't been dating for a while before they started dating.
Got it.
He casually said, oh, because of Sarah. I can't deal with the same. Because of Sarah. I knew about Sarah, but asked him what happened to her, and he said, oh, I thought I told you about how she tragically and unexpectedly passed away 6 months ago. They were still together at the time. So 8 months they've been dating, 6 months ago she passed away, and 6 months ago they were still together.
Got it.
I mean, I was shooketh. I had no clue. Now, a few nights ago, we were talking about future plans when he flat out tells me he still thinks of her. Yes, like that. This made me feel awful. I told him I didn't feel pleasant to hear that and would need to think about what this means to me. They had a super intense relationship, and it was the most serious one he's ever had. Should I be mad he didn't tell me about her prior to us starting to date? I can't help but feel betrayed because of how emotionally invested I am with him now, and even feel jealous even though I know that feeling is crazy. What should I do now? Your help is truly appreciated. I mean, honestly, this is like, first of all, I understand feeling jealous, but I feel like that's... You have to bring logic into it. I feel like that's an irrational thing to feel. I also think, like, grief is so weird. And it honestly, some people, like, can handle it and some people can't. And I'm getting the vibe that you just can't handle it.
Okay. There's a few things going on. This is, like, one of the more confusing ones I've ever read. But first of all, like, are we going to ignore the fact that he was cheating on you for the first 2 months of your relationship?
You don't seem bothered by that.
Right. So... He was cheating on you. Let's just put that out there. And then he was cheating on Sarah, who
he claims is the most intense, serious relationship he's ever had.
Right. And he was cheating on you with what he claims is the most intense, serious, like, love of his life sort of relationship. And he just lost that person. And he's in no place to be in a relationship with anyone right now.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that this man, assuming that, like, he was with her and they were deeply in love, and he shouldn't the next day be with someone else. So I think he needs to be on his own to grieve and not be in a relationship right now. Like, it's too soon.
I agree.
And he was cheating on you, according to the timeline.
This very confusing submission is riddled with problems. And I think the first problem is that neither of you are in the right relationship.
Yeah. I think maybe, like, in a year from now you guys could talk again. But I think he needs to properly grieve.
Yeah, and there are some people who, like, meet someone so quickly after you know, the loss of someone, and that person is like really the perfect person for them. Like that person has been through grief, and that person helps shelter them through this crazy time. And sometimes I do believe like you can be in a relationship after losing someone because that person is like the next right person for you, and they're going to help you get out of this dark place. I don't get that vibe from this submission.
Yeah, no, not at all. Especially when the person that he was cheating on you with is the person he needs right. to grieve.
Like,
this is
you know what I always think about? Not that it's similar, but like Jill Zarin met her boyfriend Gary like so quick after Bobby passed away. And I'm sure some people were like, oh, it's so soon. But I don't know, something about it, like sometimes these situations like make sense.
Yeah, I didn't think that was that soon though.
But a lot of people on the internet had something to say.
Got it. Well, was that all?
There's one more.
Oh.
Hi, Claudia and Jackie. I'm a huge fan and longtime listener. Jackie, you're literally my spirit animal. Your Instagram speaks to me. Claudia, I have nothing to say because you suck. No, I'm kidding. She just loves you. I recently moved out.
Oh my God, thank you so much. I'm going to put on my best advice cap for you right now. I'm going to give you the best advice.
I recently moved out from my apartment with my roommate and dear friends, also bridesmaids in my weddings, and I moved in with my fiance 2 blocks away. My friend's sister moved into my old room, so we are all now neighbors. I really miss hanging out with my friends and ex-roommates, and I just am missing having one-on-one time with her. Ever since I moved and the sister took my spot, the sister always comes to our hangout sessions. Whether it's like to watch Housewives, which she doesn't even like, or to go on a quick walk during our lunch break, I'm really struggling because she's definitely annoys me, and more than anything, I miss just having time with my friend. I've tried to hint at it before, telling her I want to catch up with just her, and she doesn't really seem to get that, and that I don't want the sister around 24/7. She's really close with her sister, so maybe she doesn't understand how annoying it is. More than that, I've stopped inviting my friend to things because the sister is always in tow and she is not that well liked by my other friends. Any ideas on how to approach this without hurting anyone's feelings? They're both kind of sensitive. Thank you. I just want to know, like, is someone writing in about me and you?
Oh my God. Cause I was just going to say, I really can't relate to this story because, oh my God, maybe this is how
your friends,
this is one of my friends.
Because and it's like this weekend, I tried to plan like a big girls trip with a bunch of people, and it just, for scheduling purposes, like, it ended up only being Jackie and her best college friends and me. And I really felt like the kid's sister, like, can I come into your room? Maybe this is one of them.
Oh, my God, maybe. But they didn't mention anything about a trip. They were talking about, like, lunch breaks.
Yeah, and we don't go on walks.
And I never lived with them where I just moved out.
Yeah, but okay, honestly, so I can't relate to this.
No, I can't relate to it because we are that sister who's always bringing the sister. But I guess without, like, mentioning it, if you wanted to see me alone and wanted to make sure I wasn't going to bring one of my sisters, how could you go about that? Because it's always going to be like an open invitation for me to invite my sisters.
Right. You know what? I want to offer an alternative here to the girl writing in. Because you say this girl's like your best friend, but if she really was your best friend, like, her sister would also be your best friend. Like, that's just how it works.
But what if she has like a bad sister?
Can't relate.
Yeah, I agree.
This is hard. Okay. Honestly, this is where, like, I'm having writer's block for advice. Like, I cannot give advice here.
I can't even fathom if one of my friends felt this way.
No, like, it's so sick.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess, like, sometimes I go to dinner with my friends without you. Like, we just make a plan one-on-one. Like, make a reservation for two. I'm not going to bring a third.
By the way, we're being dramatic. Like,
but I might.
No, you definitely have boundaries. It sounds like what you need here is boundaries. Like, of course, sisters are always invited, but, like, sometimes it's nice to, like, have friend time with your friends. Like, you want to talk about, like, blowjobs. You don't really talk about that with your sister. So, like, I get it. So you just have to be a little bit more direct. Sounds like you're just, like, hoping the problem's going to go away when you, like, make tentative plans. And, of course, she's going to invite her sister. So be more direct.
Yeah, or, like, get the sister's schedule and find out when she's busy.
Yes. Oh, my God. Or set her up. Set the sister up with one of your fiancé's friends so she falls madly in love. She has too much going on. She can't see her sister and her sister's friend. And that way, she's good. Everyone wins, and you did a good thing in the process.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know. This is really a tough one. Like, I don't know. Maybe hang out with, like, some of your other friends who don't have sisters.
Oh, that's also a good call.
You know, like, me. Like, I just feel like if I had a friend who was, like, not down with my sisters, and, like, that's fine for them because, like, we're a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe like, we should be exploring other friendships.
I would actually really like to get the take of the friend here. Like, because I am her. Well, no, actually, I'm the sister. You are her. And I would just love to, like, they sound like a great group of girls. We should get to know them.
Yeah, we should get to know them.
Oh, man.
That's okay. So funny.
That wasn't very helpful of us, but thank you guys for writing in. Again, if you ever want to write in, we will always, always keep it anonymous. And the email is deartoasters@gmail.com. Thank you guys for being so open and candid with us. And we hope you enjoyed that segment and today's episode. And if there's nothing else, we're back tomorrow. Going to be recapping Emily in Paris. So if you want to join us on the journey, please do. It's like, I have so many funny jokes like that are just killing me to get out. So I want everyone to know what I'm talking about. So if you have some free time, it's 10 episodes. They're like 25 minutes long. It's not a big deal. We'll be recapping that tomorrow. Is there any TV on tonight that we're going to be recapping?
Today's Wednesday. TV schedule has gotten all shook up. And I do feel like OC is premiering maybe tonight. OC.
Oh, I mean, honestly, like, I feel like it's going to be so bad. Like, I might drop out, but I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a shot. Okay. But just
that
don't...
would be crazy.
I know, but it's like, it's so bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think that premieres tonight or tomorrow night. So I'm going to watch Emily in Paris, like, literally right now.
Fabulous. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know Monday through Friday, usually on YouTube. So if you ever want to watch us on YouTube, please feel free to head over to youtube.com/morningtoast, subscribe, give all of our videos a thumbs up. But we're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, now on Amazon Music. Wherever you listen to your podcast, find us, search The Morning Toast, and maybe leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and sickeningly smart we are. We hope you have an amazing hump day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Bye.